Hey, this is Jim Larrabee. I'm the lead pastor here at First Christian Church, and this is our podcast. My prayer is that the words you hear encourage you, that they challenge you, that they build your faith and draw you closer to Jesus. So, enjoy. Man, y'all guys can go ahead and have a seat. And I don't know if anyone has like one of those peroxide wet wipes. There's been a bunch of Seahawks up here, and I don't know if it's. Oh, does that? It was. Sorry. Praying for you, brother. Anyway, hey, my name is Jim Larrabee, lead pastor here at First Christian. Hey, by the way, love the worship team bringing it this morning. Awesome. You know it's going to be a good day when the drummer takes aspirin before he starts playing. And so he was popping them because he was ready. It is going to be a good morning in worship. Obviously, a lot of things going on. Glad you're here this morning. This is technically our 9:30 online service, but obviously we've been having doors open for those folks that just want that extra connection, which is amazing. Well, good news for you. We're about to make you legal. The Supreme Court ruled, I think just a couple of days ago, that we can start inviting folks back into the service, which is amazing. So yes, really cool. So here's what we're going to do. We're still going to have the 9:30 service. It's still going to be online. So if you're watching from home, we are still dialed into this. This will always happen forever and ever and ever until Jesus comes back. And then if Jesus comes back and they're still doing this service, I hope I'm not leading it because I'm in trouble. But anyway, so, you know, we're still doing this. But if you want to come in, if you're ready and you want to connect indoors, and you absolutely can, you know, we've got social distancing, which y'all guys are doing a great job of, and everything else. And so 9:30 will be open to you. Starting this week, next week. And we're going to keep our 11 o'clock service that's outdoors. And a lot of folks are still a little nervous. And so, we'll have 250, 300 folks show up or outdoors where we can just spread out. Cars show up in the parking lot where they can listen online. So all of those things are still going on, still happening. We are doing everything we can to help people connect with Christ, which is what we're all about. Amen? Yes. So anyway, we're doing it and excited. So glad you're here worshiping and engaging this morning. All right. We're in week 2 of our Knowing My Shepherd series. This has been a fun series just to dive in. Basically, my desire. So Jim, what are you hoping for through the next 6 or so weeks with this series? My desire is this, is that you gain, that I gain. I talked to Jen about this stuff during the week. Hey, this is what I'm learning. This is what I'm seeing in scripture. This is what God is teaching me. So my desire is that I gain and you gain just a deeper connection with honestly some of the most well-known passages well-known verses in the Bible. We all know John 3:16, and probably the second most well-known is Psalms 23. And so if you got your Bible or your Bible apps, go ahead and go there. I'm just going to read it to us. It's going to be our thing all the way through the series, reading this, so you'll know it really well by the end. Let me just read Psalms 23, and then we'll jump into our message this morning. Psalms 23 says this, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they are there. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup, man, it absolutely overflows. And surely, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, last week we laid the foundation with that first little statement. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. This wasn't a get a religion statement, by the way. This isn't David saying, hey, I want you guys out there to pick your favorite religion and do your religion thing. It wasn't a statement about religion at all. When David says these words, the Lord is my shepherd, what is he doing? He's making a relationship declaration. He's saying the Lord is who? He's my shepherd. It's personal. It's me and him and me, us together. We're doing this journey. It is a very personal thing to David. Jesus, the good shepherd, makes the same invitation to each and every one of us. David was talking about the Hebrew God, Yahweh, that would eventually be revealed to us, Jesus, in the New Testament and who he is. So for us, Jesus, the good shepherd, makes the same invitation that was made to David, which is this. He personally invites us and calls us to do one simple thing. Christianity is one simple thing. You know what it is? Follow Jesus. If you don't hear anything else about what Christianity means, it means this, that we follow him. Everything in our life and our heart and our journey flows out of our willingness to do that. If you run into problems in your Christian journey, man, this thing's just not working. I don't know what the deal is. More than likely, you can trace it back to that. Say, am I really following Jesus? And if you can understand what you're doing in those moments, it'll help you discover whether you're dialed into who he is or not. Pastor Stephen Furtick says it this way, and I really like this. And you might want to write it down. I wrote it down so I can keep remembering it. His words are this: until Jesus is enough for you, no other person or thing will ever be. And that is like the essence of following Jesus and going hard after him. Until Jesus is enough for us, until Jesus absolutely satisfies and fills us up, no other person, no matter who that person is, no matter how legit that person is, no other thing, no matter how amazing it is, will ever be what Jesus can be until he's at the center and until he is the one that fills us up. And that is just a powerful, powerful truth. In fact, it is so true, it's what leads David to write this next phrase. The Lord is my shepherd. And what's the next thing he says? I shall not want. Interesting. Isn't it so interesting? God, you're the one that personally is connected with me. And the very next thing that David says is the statement about satisfaction, the statement about a heart and about being full. He says, listen, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'll be honest with you this morning and tell you that for a large part of my Christian journey, I came to Christ when I was about 9. I'm 49 now. So if you do the math, it's about 40 years exactly. So anyway, I've been a Christian for a long time. And those first, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years or so, I was absolutely confused about what David was saying in this moment. I would read this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And this verse really wouldn't make sense to me. It wouldn't make sense to me because while David would say, I shall not want, and I would think that was supposed to be true in my life, I would have a whole lot of wants. In fact, I would look at this verse and go, man, what is going on? David says this. This is something in the Bible, but here I am as a Christian, as a Christ follower. And there's some things that I'm wanting. You know, there's some jobs that I'm wanting. There's some relationships that I'm wanting. There's some outcomes or results or circumstances that I'm wanting. So I had wants. I don't know if you've ever been there. You ever have wants and you're like, hey, I'm reading Psalms 23. Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. But why in the world am I over here wanting all this other stuff? What's going on? So I had all these wants that honestly, it felt like God was doing nothing about. God was not doing anything about making sure I was going out with that gal, and God was doing nothing about making sure I got that job, and God was doing nothing about making sure these circumstances and these outcomes, you know, got dialed into a way that I wanted them. So I'd read this verse and it just seemed a little sketchy to me. Maybe it only applied to like the Billy Graham types or the Mother Teresa types or the Pastor Jordan types, you know, maybe that's the deal. Maybe that I just wasn't good enough for this verse to apply to me. But here's the thing, as I began to grow in my faith, which is what we should all be doing, right? That's discipleship, growing in our faith, right? Reading God's truth and then growing and understanding what it really and truly means. That's the journey all of us are on. I began to understand here later in life what David was actually saying when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now we're going to unpack that simple statement this morning. You're going to walk away from here understanding exactly what David means, what God wants for us in that little statement. But before we unpack that, let me just state the obvious. Just put it out there. God is unbelievably generous, right? Amen? God is generous, you know, because sometimes when you think, hey, God's not giving me what I want, so God must not be generous. You know, I want these things. God, where are you at? But I'm here to tell you that the bottom line is this. No matter what's going on in your heart and your life, God is unbelievably generous. He's got all these blessings that he pours out on us, things that we don't even know, things we don't even see. You know, he has all these hopes that he pours into us, all the joy, all the peace, all the promises. I don't know who counted, but someone counted all the promises that God makes to us in the Bible. Over 7,000 of those puppies. All these things that God says, that God promises us, none of which he will ever break. In fact, Psalms 145 says this, God is trustworthy, not only in his nature and his character, but God is trustworthy in all the things that he promises. And he is faithful in all the things that he does. So the generosity of God, the goodness of the shepherd isn't the question here. So that's not where we're gonna go this morning. That isn't the question. The question is, how does God put me in a place as Jim, just regular dude Jim, how does God put me in a place where I shall not want? How does God put me in a place where I am fully satisfied? Well, I can tell you one thing. Here's what I've learned, you know, 40 some odd years as a Christian. I can tell you how he doesn't do it. Here's the first way he doesn't do it. God doesn't put us in a place where we shall not want, where we're fully satisfied by giving us everything we want. I mean, when I was a teenager as a Christian, that's kind of how I approached this verse. Okay, God, woo, I'm ready. I'm ready now, man. I'm yours, you're mine. Just load it up. You know, I'll bring the wheelbarrow. You know, you just start dumping. Here's all my wants. You just go ahead. And I'm here to tell you that God doesn't answer this. I shall not want, you know, that I will be fully satisfied by just giving us everything we want. And let's be honest. How messed up would we be as Christians, as Christ followers, if God gave you everything that you asked for? If God gave you everything you want, just be honest, you know, you might ask for world peace and it'd be amazing. Yeah, whatever, you lie. every single one of you in here would have won the lottery like 7 times. You know, God just gave me what I wanted. You know, if God answered everything with yes, and if God gave us everything that we wanted all the time, we honestly would be a really messed up group of people. We'd be spoiled, entitled Christians with no endurance, and no patience, and absolutely zero depth in our faith. So here's kind of the deeper truths here. God withholds certain things from us, even though we ask for it, even though we think in the moment, this is what I need. God withholds certain things from us to save us from our own desires. I don't listen to country music a ton, but there's a country song that they wrote, you know, thank God for unanswered prayers. I don't know who sang it. Sorry. Sensitive this morning. Garth Brooks wrote this song. And you hollered at me. You made me forget my point. But the whole deal here is that, you know, sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers. Because he knows, man, I know you want this. I know it looks good now, but God sees down the line. He sees where this will go. And he saves us from unintended outcomes that we have no idea, that we can't see, but he does. And so he withholds. And that's a part of this journey that we just got to trust God. We got to trust his wisdom. We got to trust God's heart. We got to trust what he sees. God, this is the thing. This is the thing. And if God says no, we've got to be able to go, okay. You know, I'm going to back away. I'm not going to try to make that the thing if God is saying no right now. Because he loves me. He cares for me. Remember what I said? God is generous. God is good. Those things are still true no matter what we wrestle with. So sometimes God withholds things from us because of what it's going to produce in our life down the line that he knows isn't where our heart needs to be and where we need to go. But sometimes, and this is a truth, and I know you probably have experienced it in your life, sometimes God withholds things just for a season. Now, there are things that we ask for, the things that we're wanting, that God says, he doesn't say no to, he just simply says, wait. Now, it feels like a no in the moment, but what God is truly doing, he's simply saying, wait. I heard someone say it this way, never put a period where God is just putting a comma. And so basically God steps in, he says, listen, this is something that I would like for you. This is something that I want to see in your life and I want to see in your heart, and it's a good thing, but not now. How many of you guys have ever had to wait on God? Woo, man, waiting is almost tougher than a no. And you know, I know I can at least be mad and just kind of go do my thing. Now, waiting is like, okay, God, I'll wait on your time. If we had all the time in the world, I'd tell you all these stories about moments in my life when God simply said, Jim, yes, but not right now. I'm gonna have you wait. And by the way, Jim, in this waiting process, I'm gonna produce in your soul something absolutely amazing. I've got this thing for you, but honestly, it's not the destination that's gonna be the most valuable thing that you're gonna gain here. It's the journey with me to that. And God does this deeper work in our heart and our soul. And sometimes when God says wait, my go-to verses when I feel like God is saying wait, is in James chapter 1. I read this to you all the time, but it's so good for us. I'll read it again. James chapter 1, this is what he says about waiting and navigating the challenges of life. James chapter 1, verse 2 says, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials or struggles, and those trials could be waiting on God. When you have trials and struggles of various kinds, whatever it is that God places in front of you, even if it's waiting. For you know that the testing of your faith does what? Man, it produces steadfastness, and let that steadfastness have its fullest effect. Let God do his work in you, his complete work, so that you may be what? Perfect and complete and not lacking anything. So sometimes God withholds what we want, and that withholding can feel like a trial, it can feel like a struggle, and we're like, God, why are you doing this? And yet what God is doing is eventually working to us a completeness. He's eventually getting us to the place and the space where we don't lack anything. Now those seasons when God is putting his hands up and it feels like he's withholding, but he's really saying waiting. And in my own life, I call those desert seasons. I don't know what you call them, but I call them desert seasons, you know, when it feels like you're just walking through the desert, you know, and things are uncomfortable, your comfort has been stripped away, and the pain of waiting and wrestling and struggling, you know, it's got me focused, it's got me all dialed in. Man, woo, okay, I see what's in front of me, and in those moments, I'm actively listening to God more than any other time. You dump a bunch of blessings on me, and I'm like, woo, yeah, loving me some blessings, but I can get deaf to God during those good times and on the mountaintops. But when I'm in this desert time, man, I am actively listening for God because I'm wanting change. I'm facing this challenge. God, what are you doing? What are you saying? And this desert season, this desert time, it can be a tough place, but it's also where God does some of his deepest and best work in our souls. And that's just a powerful truth for us to grab hold of, because this is a true statement here. Struggle is required to develop our strength. Did you know that? Struggle is required to develop our strength. That's true physically. You see somebody that wants you know get yoked, you know, and you know, build strength. What do they do? They don't go to Starbucks and just sit there in a coffee shop and drink lattes. Oh yeah, look at this. Well, I'll show you. Just so yeah, look at that. Look at that. Where's the napkins? Over there. You know, that's not something you do to build strength, right? You go to the gym or you start running, and when you're doing those things, it's a struggle. You see these guys, and they're screaming and they're hollering, and that's just, you know, put the towel up on the rack, you know, and then go in and start working out. That it is that wrestle. It is kind of navigating those weights that build the muscle. You know, the runner, the same thing. You know, they're running, and pretty soon your body just says, no. No, I don't. We're not running from anything. Why are we doing this? You know, and you have to push yourself through that so that your body can get disciplined and it can gain strength and do what it's supposed to do. Well, all those things that happen in the physical realm are so true in the spiritual realm. That sometimes we want strength in our Christian life. Jim, I want to be a dialed in, strong Christian. Well, God says, okay, that's all right. Well, here's the weight. Now here's the wrestle, here's the run, here's the journey, here's the training. Wow, I don't want none of that. I just want to live my Bible and just kind of, yeah, that's just what I want to open it. Woo, double workout. But God says, listen, I want to build strength in you. I want to build some deeper things in you. And in order to build deeper things in you, we got to go through this journey. It's going to be a desert. But if you will trust me, if you will trust me, then I've got some deeper, greater, bigger things for you in your life. God is always building you, even when it feels like he's breaking you. God is always building you, even when it feels like he's breaking us and he's pushing us and he's challenging us. Remember that statement, God is generous and God is good. Man, he is. Don't forget those things when you're walking through the journey of the desert and when it feels like he's withholding or when God has said, wait, because he's got good things for us. And I will add this. This is just a personal statement. I'll add this. I know Jesus is real. Maybe you do too. I know Jesus is real. Not so much because of what I experienced in church. Man, I was worshiping like crazy over there. Yeah, man, it was good. I was engaged with God, and I was like, man, Jesus is here, and he is real, and that is awesome. But that's not the reason I know Jesus is real. You know the reason I truly know Jesus is real? Because of the grip that he's had on my soul when I walked through the valley. Man, I've been through some times that have been just flat out dark in my life, and Jesus grabbed me so tight and held me so strong. You know what it did? It left an imprint that has lasted forever. So if someone comes up to me and says, Jim, how do you know Jesus is real? I mean, I'll tell them to come to church and I'll tell them to experience God's presence here, but I'll probably tell them, hey, let me just show you the fingerprint of God on my life when I walked through this and the fingerprint of God on my life when I went through these things. Man, Jesus is real because of that and because of how he held me in those places and in those spaces. And we'll get to that in a couple of weeks when we talk about some other verses, but that's how I know he is so real. Now, just because God doesn't give us everything we want, I need to address this. Just because God doesn't give us, you know, whatever we want, there can be the thought that, well, God doesn't want me happy. You know, I love my kids, but just because you're not giving me what I want, you must not want me happy. I'm like, no, that's right. I'm your dad. I never want you happy. That's just my whole job in life is make you miserable, and your mom's my backup. You know, That's not how it works as parents. No, that's not how it works with God either. God isn't just standing there trying to make you unhappy because he's not giving you what you want. God sees us as his children. God delights in our joy. Jesus says in John 15, he says this, listen, I came. I am telling you these things. I am teaching you these words. Why? So that your joy, your delight may be full. Jesus is like, man, I want you just filled with the goodness and delight and joy of God. God wants us to experience good things, but here's what we got to understand. It's not a joy. It's not a happiness. It's not a satisfaction. You know, I shall not want. It's not a satisfaction. It's not a delight built on our desires and our wants. It's a happiness. It's a joy. It's a satisfaction born out of God changing our desires as we draw closer to him. And there it is. That is the truth. That's the secret sauce of this statement that David is making. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That is not about God giving me everything I could ever want. It's about God changing my desires so that the things I now want are the things that God desires to give me. Do you get the change? Do you get the swap? That God begins to work in us. And now all of a sudden the things that I thought I really, really wanted, the closer I walk with God, I'm like, you know, maybe not so much. My heart gets aligned with God's heart. And I'm like, man, I would like to see this and this and this. And even if I have to walk through the valley to get there with you, Jesus, I'm willing to do it. And God's like, yes, those are the things I'm going to give you because those are my desires too. When our desires line up with God's desires, man, then the heavens open up. Man, they dump out in our heart and our soul. And it is a powerful, powerful thing that God does and he delivers for us. Now, we don't talk enough about this, but it is a supernatural work. I'll go ahead and tell you, you're just not going to be able to build this up in your heart and your life. You're just changing your desires. No human being can ever just change their desires on their own. It is almost near impossible to do. But it's not dependent on us. It's a supernatural work of God, something that he does in us and something he does for us. We don't talk about it enough, but as Christ followers, here's the deal. We are given God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in our heart and our life. It takes up a permanent place in our soul. Jesus said this, when I leave, you're gonna freak out. And already they were like, yeah, maybe, Jesus, what are we gonna do without you? And Jesus is like, don't worry. When I leave, you know what's gonna happen? I'm gonna send my Spirit and he's gonna live inside you. You will do greater things than I do. They're like, what? Like, yeah, because my Spirit is gonna live inside you. It won't be just me walking over here. It's gonna be me living here inside who you are. And I'm gonna send someone who will be with you, a counselor, a guide, a person who's gonna shape your life, and they're gonna be with you always. And when the Holy Spirit shows up, he starts cleaning out and he starts remodeling things. He starts doing that deeper work in our heart and life. One of the coolest things to see is someone come to Christ and immediately you see the Holy Spirit show up and start working things out, pulling out, doing, woo! Man, it's so fun to see. So fun to see God doing those initial works in a person's heart. It is amazing. And sometimes that work is instantaneous. Sometimes the Holy Spirit just shows up and he does complete change in a moment. I have seen people in an instant free from addiction, in an instant free from bondage, hate gone, fear gone, depression gone, all in an instant. And when that happens, woo, that's glorious and that is amazing. I've seen that. Maybe you've experienced that. You're like, Jim, I was walking this way, and man, God met me and changed me, and now I am walking this way. My family doesn't even know who I am because I've been so changed in my heart and my life and my desires, and so I've seen that. But I also hear this. I've seen that transformation work take time, too. And this is sometimes many of our journeys. It's just as powerful, but sometimes God just simply says, hey, you're gonna have to visit with me every day about this. This is something that you need to be released from. This is something that you need to journey through, and it's gonna be a day by day, maybe moment by moment choice that you have to make to keep following me. God, I've got this thing, I've got this wrestle, I've got this issue, and I'm laying it down. 10 minutes later, I am laying it down again. Doggone it, I picked it up again. I'm laying it down again. And you know, that might be a journey for months or even for years. Here's the thing. Both are good. The instantaneous and the journey, both are good. Both are real. Both are how God works in us. Both are powerful. And both produce good and deep things in our soul. Now, let me just add this because I think it's important, really important for us. While the Holy Spirit has power to change each and every one of you, I could sit a murderer, racist, crazy guy right here in the front row, and God could show up and completely change him 100% or her 100% instantaneously. He could do that. While the Holy Spirit has power to change even the worst of us, the thing that's really real here is he doesn't force that change on us. Even as Christians, even as Christ followers, we have free will. We have the ability to choose. And you know, a sheep has the choice to follow the shepherd. Absolutely. You don't ever see a shepherd with a whole bunch of ropes around these sheep's neck. You know, like he's walking dogs. Come on, you're just dragging these sheep around here. They follow. They choose to follow the shepherd. And that is the same that is true from us. We have this ability to choose to follow. And sometimes as Christians, what do? Sometimes we balk. I know I do. Sometimes I will decide not to let go of something. Maybe it's an identity. This is who I am. I'm not letting go of that. And this culture has said I could have this, and so I'm not letting go of that. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a belief. We hold on to these pieces of self regardless of what God wants. Now, holding on to these old pieces of self doesn't mean you're not a Christian. I've seen people come to Christ and they're dialed in with Jesus and they're trying to follow him, but they just are wrestling with letting these things go. It doesn't mean they're not a Christian. Apostle Paul said this of his own struggles, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't do, those are the things I end up doing. There's this natural old self, new self wrestle. But it does mean this. we can place barriers in our own lives that slow down God's work in us. I, Jim, can place a barrier in my own life with something I'm not willing to let go that slows down God's work in me. You ever seen two people come to know Christ about the same time and one just seems like they're just like, whoa, man, they're running with Jesus. And this other person is just like, man, you meet them 20 years later and they haven't gone anywhere. And then another 20 years and they haven't gone anywhere. And just, you know, it just, what's going on? What's happening? Why no movement? Why no growth? Because sometimes we place barriers in our own lives that slow down God's work in us. And I'll be honest with you. One of the things I am actively working against is this. I don't want to show up to heaven one day and hear God say this, Jim, you are my boy. Man, I loved you. Woo, me and you, we did some stuff together, didn't we? I was like, yeah, Jesus, we did. We walked together. We did some things together. But then Jesus says, but there was some stuff, Jim, that you just would never let go of. And because your hands were full of your stuff, bro, you never were able to receive all the things that I wanted to give you. Man, I do not want Jesus saying that. I don't want Jesus pulling back in the curtain saying, hey, I had this and this and this and this for you, but you were so busy holding on to the things of yourself that you never let go so that I could pour in the things that I had for you. And I never, ever want to hear God say that to me. And I don't think I'm alone in that. I think every single one of us in this room absolutely want everything that God has for us. You wouldn't be here if you didn't want everything that God has for you. Now, I've never heard a Christian say, I wish God would turn down the blessings. You know, I wish God is just, it's just too much. You know, I wish God would walk farther away from me. You know, he's given me too much hope. He's given me too much joy. He's just too much of his presence. I've never heard a Christian say that. I've heard Christians say just the opposite. God, we want more of you. We want more of your work. We want more of your life. We want more of your joy. We want more of your purpose. And that is exactly what David is trying to teach us and to show us how to have. And it all begins with this statement that he makes, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall be completely fulfilled and satisfied with him because he is the one that's leading me. He is the one that's guiding me. He is the one that I'm willing to lay down my stuff, the things in my hands. I'm willing to lay those things down so that I can receive what he has for me. I'm willing, God, to let you shift and change my desires and my wants so they line up with what you desire and what you want. And when that thing happens, the Lord is my shepherd. Man, I have got everything that I've ever wanted in life. The very presence of God, his power, his work in me, are things perfect? Absolutely not, but things are good. And I'm talking good because the goodness of God is alive and work in you. And that's what David means. That's what he's trying to teach us. That's the truth of what he's trying to show us. It's not about God giving you everything you want this morning. It's about us yielding to him and letting him shape us to the point that our desires line up with him. And so the simple question is this, is the Lord your shepherd? And are you finding yourself in want? If you're walking out here going, Jim, there's still, man, I'm in want. Then maybe it's because we're holding on to some things. And I don't know what you're holding on to. I know what I hold on to. Jen and I went on a date last night. We were just talking about the things we hold on to. Man, I'm holding on to this and this and this. And, you know, and it's just letting those things go and saying that these things are not the most important things. Jesus, your presence and your heart and me following you, regardless of what the world says, regardless of what the world lets us do, these are the things that I'm yielding and embracing about you. And we just let him work. And when he does, scripture says we'll get to the place where we'll be able to say, I am completely satisfied. I don't have this, I don't have this, I don't have this, but I tell you what, I don't need any of that because I am completely satisfied in the very presence and work of God in my life. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I yield to you right now in front of everyone here. I just yield to you. I yield to you that I want you to be my shepherd. That I want you to lead me. I want to follow, Father. I don't want you to have to tie a rope around my neck and just drag me around the place. You just don't even do that. I want to yield to you. And I truly want to be able to say, I am completely satisfied. And I know in my own life there, I can think of thing after thing after thing that I need to lay down in order to get there. I think for the men and women in this room that we do the same things. There are pieces that we're holding on to, identities, there's, you know, maybe even sin and struggle, beliefs about ourselves that aren't true. Father, you just help us lay those things down so that we can truly have open hands to you, and you in your generosity pour out blessings and hope and peace and life and goodness. And if there's some folks in here that are hearing the wait, hey, I got this for you, but I just need for you to wait right now. I just need you to, it's just a pause. It's not a period. It's just a comma. You give them strength. You teach them the greater truths that you want to show in their heart and life as they go through the desert, as they go through the journey, trusting your goodness, trusting your grace, that you have a deeper work for them. And so if there are men and women here that are enduring right now, strengthen them for the journey. Don't let them give up. Don't let them doubt. You let them see truly that you are the good shepherd, and at the end of the place that you have for them, they truly shall never lack for anything. Do your work in our heart and our soul, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Hey, folks that are online, glad you guys joined us this morning. We will see you next week. If you want to join us in service, you totally can. 9:30, outdoors at 11 o'clock. You guys take care, and God bless.
Hey, thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed today's podcast, don't forget to subscribe and share it with a friend. A special thanks to those of you who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that this ministry is possible. If you'd like to find out more information about giving or to see what's going on in the life of our church, please visit us at fccsantamaria.org. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.